And we're going to just open up in prayer and ask God to do something for you. Why don't we all just stand again, just for the last time today. Thank you all for listening to me and paying attention. I'm feeling really warmed and welcome. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we take every thought captive. We take every activity captive. We take everything that we need to do captive. And we're asking now that you would download what you've already done. Father, we're not asking for something new, but you've already done the new, but we haven't realized it yet. So Father, I am asking that today, that every person would have an encounter with you, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We've started the year. We got a theme for the year, is that we want you blessed. We're going to talk about supernatural abundance. And one of the key things to understand about Jesus and about his word is that God needs you to be prosperous. There's a need for you to be prosperous. A lot of people say, well, Ted, can I choose? No, you can't. You know, one of the things we've done with God, God is not a smorgasbord. He's not saying, there are 10, 15 things, choose which one you want to give me. See, when I get up in the morning, my left hand doesn't fight my right hand. My left hand doesn't go, I want to drink tea. My right hand doesn't go, I want to drink coffee. My head tells me and my body follows my head. So it is my head that instructs the body, not the body that instructing the head. Okay. Now, I need you to really pay attention. Everybody say, pay attention. Book of Genesis starts off with God first creates Adam after his image. Okay, he creates him not in the context of the world. He creates him in him. So he creates Adam in his image. Then he creates the earth. Then he puts a garden that's already established in the earth. And then he puts Adam into something that's already established, not to make Adam, but for Adam to extend what God has already established. Now work with it, right? So the garden didn't make Adam. What he did didn't make Adam. What he extended didn't make Adam. Adam was complete, put into a complete garden, and he says, now increase what is already complete. So what happens is this. Adam comes into the garden. He knows who he is. He's not looking for identity. He's not going, after I extend, then I'm going to be successful. When I do this, then I'm going to be successful. Adam says this. Now watch this. Today you're going to learn that God is blessed. The world has shifted it totally around. The world says this, and we all went to school. If you do the time, if you pass, then you get labeled a success. God totally reverses it. God says, because I am blessed, I can only produce blessing. The Bible even goes further. He says, a good man out of the treasure of his heart. So God is a good God. When he created, it is good. So he says, a blessed God creates a blessed man, puts him in a blessed environment to extend the blessing of the environment. That's why it's called the Book of Beginnings. If you want to know how God thinks, you read his Bible. It's this picture. So it's blessed God creates blessed man, puts him in a blessed environment to increase the environment. So Adam can never take ownership. Adam can never go, look what I've done, look what I've done, look what I've done. What Adam does is what God has placed inside of me, is a blessing, so therefore I bless. You good with that? Second thing, Hebrews 10 verse 5 and 6 says, when Jesus came into the earth, a body you have prepared for me. So I want you to watch this. When Jesus came into the world, he came in blessed. When we talk about Christmas, I need you to do something really for me. Take the manger out of Christmas. Take the little... You know what Christmas is all about? God says, Mary, you're going to have a baby. But he doesn't do this to Joseph. Joseph, it's going to be a baby. You're going to have to put him through school. It's going to cost you. Man, it's really going to cost you. Man, you need to do some more overtime. Do that, because this is going to be an expensive baby. That's my vision for your life. You're going to have to work hard. You know what he does? Comes in and he says, Mary, you're going to have to clothe. I'm going to give you gold. I'm going to provide so this. So now Mary gets pregnant, but she's blessed. You're really quiet on me. So God doesn't go, look, I have a vision. I want you to pay for it. We need some spiritual coffee. The world says this: you work and then you'll become wealthy. God says, if you are wealthy, you will produce wealth. The world says, if you stop doing these things, you'll be righteous. God says, if you believe you're righteous, you'll stop doing these things. See, we've totally reversed it. We're going to talk about money. Don't tell me you think about money 24/7. When you go through the supermarket, you're thinking money. Come on. You want to buy a car? What's the first thing you think about? How much is it? Come on. We all think about money. Money is not the problem. God wants to bless you. Okay. Thank you, Ted. the key to a blessing is money, is what Pastor Silva said, is a tool. God put us in an environment where we need money. If you don't think you are, you're living on welfare. Come on. You're living on handouts. God says this: what I do, I will provide. Bless God, creates blessed man, puts him in a blessed environment. Why? Because what is inside of you is producing what is outside of you. So when we start talking about spiritual abundance, understand, this is so you know where we're going. If you do not believe that you are spiritually blessed, you will not see the manifestation where you are. See, most people think, what's really interesting, anytime you ask Siri, I like Siri, Siri, what is wealth? You know what she comes up? All these websites, and they all have to do with money. Big homes, flashy cars. And you talk about people, you want to be successful, what do? They show you a bucket full of money, this and this, and they're thinking that is wealth. Now understand something. Wealth isn't money. Wealth is not a house. Wealth is not any of those things. Because you can be lonely in a big house. You can be depressed driving an Aston Martin Vanquish V12. Sports exhausts on the German Autobahn, waving hello while driving 300 kilometers an hour. Some of you are going to Google all that. What's he talking about? You see, the Bible wants to have, Bible wants you wealthy, but the problem we have is, as we was mentioning, we think if I could have this, this would make me, this would make me, this would make me. I want you to understand this. Stuff doesn't make you. A house doesn't, my car doesn't sing out to me. Oh, mighty Ted, how great art thou? I make the car great, it doesn't make me great. We've got to flip it around, because what most people think, if I could get to this, then I'll be happy. If I can get married, then I'll be happy. If I can have a good marriage, then I'll be happy. If I get... It's always one more thing after another. The Bible wants spiritual abundance. But abundance is not measured in the things. Now, watch carefully. You still good with me? The progression was, bless God, creates blessed man, puts him in a blessed environment, and then increase the blessed environment. Jesus comes in on the scene. God blesses Mary and Joseph, gives them gold, gives them all of this stuff, and he goes, now, go for it. Now, just work with me. When most of you know my background. I was born again into a very religious society. And to me, what really bugged me, I loved the Old Testament more than the New Testament. The reason being, not the laws, because you were allowed to have wealth in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, when you gave it away and you were broke, then you were holy. So seriously, right? We would go, oh, I want to be like St. Francis that gives everything away and lives poor. I go, no. I don't want to be St. Francis. I want to be St. Francis with the stuff. Work with me. Now, work with me. So you used to get me. So God blessed people in the old, and then he went through the cross and reversed it. So he says, what was a blessing over here is now a curse over here. We have to do foundations, because you need to be blessed not just this year, but for the rest of your life. Your kids need to be blessed. So Jesus comes in, God prepares him a body. Now I want you to understand something. Your mind and your perception tells you who you are, what you look like, what to wear. So when you look into the mirror, guess who's telling you that if you look good or not? You. Excuse me? See, when I look into the mirror, I talk to myself. My head tells my body what it is. So I look in the mirror and I go, wow, you are so, man, you got a 12-pack. And I go, wow, that is amazing. That's without exercise. Can you imagine if I exercised? This will make sense. So Jesus is in full control of his body. Jesus isn't living in lack. He meets every need. Did you realize that he had over 120 people that he was providing for every single week? When he said to Peter, Peter, come, do you realize that Peter had a wife and children? And you never read Peter or any of the apostles doing this. Man, we were better off financially before we met Jesus. You don't read this. Oh, hey, how you going? How you going, Matthew? Oh yeah, I'm spiritually healthy, but I'm really poor. Yeah, man, before I met Jesus, I tell you what, when I went to the supermarket, I used to go, look, I need five people to have trolleys with me. Right? Oh, man, I lived in this house, I drove this, and it was amazing. Now I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Can't pay my bills. My wife. I used to go to a car and I used to go buy a car and I used to do this. What are the extras? Now I go to buy a car. Excuse me, I'll have the poverty pack, please. And what's the poverty? Yeah, long as it's got brakes. Come on. You never hear of the apostles doing it. So when we talk about supernatural abundance, comes into this. So Jesus says, this is my body. He goes to the cross. Guess now what happens? There's a transference of one body to another body, and that's you. So therefore, again, let's go back to where it is. So now he tells his body, He gives the definition, not the body itself. The body doesn't tell me. Now, most people, when you don't understand that, we get this stupid theology. God made me sick to teach me. How many of you here trained for sport? Put your hand up so that I... Only one person. Oh, good, thank you. How many of you know sport? How many don't know what I'm talking about? Okay, let's look at it this way. I decided, I had a, what's his name, one of my mates at school said to me, hey, Ted, you're pretty quick. So, hey, have you ever tried athletics? I go, no. So I tried. First, a couple of attempts, I wasn't good, but you know what I never did? After every race, I didn't go, you stupid legs. I'm going to punish you now. I'm going to take a stick because you lost me the race. Oh, you know what? I'm going to make you sick. You're going to get gangrene. I'm going to punish you because I lost the race. Come, excuse-moi. I didn't do this. Oh, today we lost the race, stomach. I'm going to starve you. I am deliberately not going to eat. And I'm going to teach you a lesson. If you do that, come up for prayer afterwards. I'll release you from it, okay? See, the way I treated my body was every time I looked, I corrected my body. And you know how I corrected it? By training. By watching other athletes. And I remember watching them and I go, ah, okay, if I want a little bit more speed, I've got to stop running like this. Ah, okay, so how does this one run? Oh, it runs. Wow, okay, that's really good. I became a little bit faster. Then I did more training. I'm going, hey, when they run, they don't run flat feet. They run with a tip and they bounce. And I go, wow. And then I'm thinking, oh, I have to talk to somebody else. Your breathing is wrong. What do you mean my breathing is wrong? I'm alive. And he goes, no. You need to breathe, not from your chest, but from down here. And then breathe and then let it put oxygen back into your body. That's how I trained it. Excuse me? So remember, you are his body. So he is not going to teach you with poverty. Oh, you know what? I'm really sick of my body. I am so sick of you, Fabianic body. I am going to punish you. We're going to live scantily. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. We're going to live on the bare minimum. I am going to teach you to submit to me. Have you, you good with me? When has ever Jesus made a derogatory comment about his physical body? Never. So what would, if Jesus never made his body sick before the cross, why would he then make his body sick after the cross? If his body lived in wealth before the cross, why would he now live in poverty after the cross? This is deep. Because the problem with finances, that people think it's not a system, it's a belief system. So if I believe I'm blessed, now watch this. This is my intro. When God reveals himself in the Bible, he reveals himself that he is abundance, he is not poor, he is not stingy, he is not limited, he is a God of abundance, his grace is abundant, his love is abundant, his provision is abundant. For those that we're going to stick this up on our app, so if you don't get it. So you start to see the way God reveals himself, when God reveals himself, he's saying, this is what I do. This is not a label that I have. So God says, I am a God of abundance because I am abundant. When I created Adam, Adam had no lack. He put him in an environment that had no lack. And then he said, now, Adam, because you're blessed, you are in a blessed garden. And because you're blessed, the garden is blessed. So when an extension comes, the extension is also blessed. So what we have here is that God reveals himself as a blessed God. Now, here's something interesting for you. Every single time in the Hebrew language and also in the Old Testament, every time before a priest would bless you, you know the first thing he would say? Blessed be God. Or blessed is God. Every blessing was a statement that the one blessing you is blessed. So there was never a pronouncement. If I was God, if I was a priest and Penny came to be blessed, the first thing I would say, blessed is God. So because now he is blessed, she stands positioned to receive a blessing. Because a blessed God that cannot curse. So every time a blessing came, the priests were commanded, you are to say, to get people in the right environment, blessed is God. So God is blessed. And so what flows out of a God is blessed. Now watch this. In Ephesians, before we read it, let me just give you a download on the book of Ephesians. A book of Ephesians is an amazing book. First thing we learn about Ephesians, the Ephesian society was a very wealthy society. They had one of the seven wonders of the world. They had libraries. They had irrigation. When Rome built Ephesus, it was the peak of everything. It was the best of the best. So the book of Ephesians is written to a people that understood wealth. It wasn't written to a people that were struggling for wealth. It wasn't written to a people that didn't understand blessing, that didn't understand education, that didn't understand culture. Man, if you were in Ephesus, it was amazing. You would see the architecture. You'd see the storm waters. You would see the libraries. You could be taught. It was just absolutely amazing. And Paul starts to talk about in his book of Ephesians. And first thing, now watch this. And also the book of Ephesians was not written to correct theology. You look at the book of Galatians, who has bewitched you, correct? He's here coming up and you're going to see it's an amazing book. And understand this, when the church rose up, there was a wealth transfer in the nation or the region of Ephesus. It's the only time that you find in the New Testament there was a transfer of wealth. The Christians were persecuted in Ephesus because they changed the economy. There was one of the economies that was in the town of Ephesus was to the goddess Diana, and they would make golden statues. So there was a whole industry of goldsmiths and idol makers. They lived off it. It was brilliant. It was, man, if you were going to get into stocks and shares, you'd go into Diana shares. Because everybody came. Her temple was the seventh wonder of the globe. But something happened. People that were wealthy received real wealth, and there was a transfer. Instead of the wealth going into idols, the wealth came into the church. Yeah. Hello? There was a wealth transfer when you understand wealth. So when you read the book of Ephesus, people rose up. They were saying, all the goldsmiths, no one is at our shop. No one's buying this. Where are they going? It's those Jesus believers. So he would come up to one of his mates and go, hey, you haven't bought an idol for a long time. No, you know, guess what? I'm into tithes and offerings. What's that? Oh, man, is it because I'm wealthy now? I'm wealthy. I don't need this. There was a wealth transfer. So the book of Ephesus is to educated people, wealthy people that understood finance, understood money. So you couldn't go to Ephesus and do this. Excusez-moi, if you want to have wealth, you need this, you need this, you need this. They go, we know. You can't win us over telling us you're going to make us rich.
speak to me. This is education. And then Paul is now speaking to these people. And now listen to how he starts this. This is amazing. Isn't it amazing? Isn't this amazing? Ted, you're preaching really well. Come on, Ted. You are preaching really well. I thank you for that unsolicited clap. Oh, thank you, thank you. My name is Paul. First of all, you know what he does? He has to give his name. He says, I'm Paul. I am wise. I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. I have an understanding of how the kingdom works. I am here to ground you, not only just to ground you, but to give you something that is everlasting. So he uses his name as credibility. He says, I am not here because I am not after anything. I'm not here because I need anything. I am here to tell you the mind of God for your life now. Good? Now, I was chosen by God to be an apostle of Jesus, the Messiah. Now, I want you to understand this. Jesus, the... So he goes, what I'm telling you is what's coming out of him. I'm writing this letter to all the devoted believers who have been made holy by being one with Jesus, the Anointed One. I am writing to people that are connected to the head. I'm writing to people that when a thought comes in. Now, I don't want to be too medical here, but the latest research says this. This is not by Christians, by neurologists. It's still early in the morning. I've been up since 5. It says this, that every time you think a thought, that thought goes into every cell of the body. So you cannot have a negative thought without going into your body. Please be smart. I need you to be smart. You cannot contain a thought in an isolated part within your mind or your heart. Every time you think a thought, it tells you information. And they've taken it even another level. They were saying like this, how does a person get sick? A negative thought opens up a cell so that it can receive disease. How many of you are now really positive? Okay, one with Jesus, the Anointed One. So he says, I'm talking to someone that understands that your body responds. When my mind says walk, I walk. Then he says this, may God himself, the heavenly Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ, release grace over you and impart total well-being into your lives. Total well-being. Total. That means that every part of your life measures with the head. Every part. And understand this. Stop dissecting the salvation. Stop dissecting this. Well, I don't believe in this. I don't believe in that. Listen to me very carefully. You have total salvation in you now, but you can't water it down, but what you can do is limit it. The affection that it has on you. So I can't decrease grace, but I can limit grace. Now, look at verse 3. Can we pretend that this is grade 2 at school? Okay. I want you to read it. I want you to listen to this. I want you to repeat it after me. Come on. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, all because He sees us wrapped up into Christ. This is why we celebrate Him with all of our hearts. Now, he's not saying this. Now, listen, this is what he's not saying. Oh, Penny, if you work really hard, you can attain this, but you need to work really hard, and then you can have it. This should boggle your mind. The Bible says that you have already been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Now, watch this carefully. Everything that you see has been made by what you don't see. So it works like this. To totally understand this, is if you do not believe that you are blessed, you will not see and live in a blessed life. If you do not believe that you are blessed now, doesn't matter how hard you work, you'll always come up empty. You with me? I've had lunch with very successful people that were not whole. They could stop working and have a lavish lifestyle for the rest of their lives, but they weren't healthy. So what we have here, the Bible says this is the mentality. If I work really hard, if I do this, then I will be blessed. Then I will have finance. The Bible says, flip it around. It says this, if you believe that you are blessed, guess what will come out of you? Now, check this out. This gets even better. The literal translation is Young's literal translation. It's not a Bible that you read for easy reading because it kind of jolts. But it says this: blessed is the God. So what Paul is saying here, God is blessed. God is blessed. Not that we can make him blessed. So God says, I come and I am blessed. Is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who did bless us with every spiritual blessing. Now, I want you to understand this. Your practical need is a spiritual need. So when God doesn't do this, if you've been in church long enough and you're as young as I am, we've been taught, God's not interested in that, but God's interested in this. God's not interested in what you drive. God's not interested in what you eat. God's not, that all these things are fading away. I'm looking at people like that. I can tell he's fading away. I'm looking at you. God says this, you have a need to eat, I'll eat. You have need for shelter. See, one of the keys to living abundantly is this. Every need is spiritual. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is. Ooh, we can park there for the rest of the week. God says this. If you want to live like I live, then you will bring heaven on earth. So I want you to get this. As Jesus' body was walking on the earth, did he provide for practical needs? When he needed money, he says, I tell you what, there's a lot of ways of getting money, but one of the ways is go and catch a fish, open his mouth, and you'll find a coin. Every time now, I now, God, give me fish with gold in it. Every time I go to a fishmonger, I'm always open the mouth and go, oh, come on, Ted, raise your faith, son, come on. But you see, to live spiritual abundance, Paul says this. Listen to me. Paul says this. You already are blessed in everything because you are in me. But it starts off like this. I like the worship team to come up. It starts off like this. Isn't this amazing? Just work with me here. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am really terrible. Let the poor say, it's not a misery. Let the sick say, I'm in training. He does it. He says, let the poor say, I am rich. Let the weak say, I am strong. Take it up another level. Paul says this, my weaknesses are my strength. So any natural weakness I have is totally obsolete because I am in him. Church, watch this. God the Father who blesses, Jesus who redeems us, and the Holy Spirit who seals us. Now, let me just backtrack to what we learned about, I think, 3 or 4 weeks ago. When we have Easter, right, it's about Yom Kippur. It's about the one day a year where the whole nation stops. You know what the priests believed? So you can get this. When Paul says you are sealed, you know where that comes from? It comes from this, is that the rabbis used to believe that you would get a blank piece of paper. And if you did really well, so you prayed. Oh, okay, great. Elbio, how much did you pray? A lot. Yeah, Elbio prays a lot. Okay, that's really good. Okay. Elbio prays a lot, and now his reward for the year will be this. Because you see, their salvation or forgiveness of sin came once a year. And so what would happen, you had a window of 10 days where you would do service, you would do good deeds, and it would, and they believe that there's a book in heaven that is written. And what happens within these 10 days, you earn, you will be blessed, this will happen, my family will grow, my finances will grow, hey, my crops are going to prosper, hey, my businesses are going to go great, my import business, the ships are not going to sink, it's going to be favorable weather. You start writing all of this, right? And then if you've done enough, you know what the priest would do? He would take it and he would seal it. That means it can't be changed. That means what was written is going to happen in that year. Good? Now watch this. God blesses us. God the Father blesses. He gives us a Redeemer, Jesus, who redeems us from the curse of the law. And what does the Holy Spirit do? I've sealed it. It's unchangeable. You can't change it. Satan can't change it. Economy can't change it. Your body can't change it. It's sealed. Now watch this. When you start talking about sealing, there's in the Old Testament, God made this comment. It was an amazing comment. I never understood it till last couple of years when God started to open up grace to me. He said this, you know, in the Ark of the Covenant, you know, that shiny gold thing that was in the tent? Yeah, right. Well, in the tent, right, you would have the Ark. There was a lid on it, and inside was the original Ten Commandments, was bread, and Aaron's rod that budded. And then it was sealed. And you know what God said? Anybody that takes the seal off will die. It happened once it was recorded. These guys decided, hey, let's have a look. Let's unseal something. 70,000 people died because God says, what I seal can't be changed. Now watch this. When you start to see this, you understand tithing. We're going to talk about tithing, the amazing thing. I don't know if you realize this, but tithing offering is a grace gift to accelerate you in your finances. But it starts off with this. Number one, we serve a blessed God. God says, I'm blessed. So how can I, out of a blessed God, give you something negative? So God says, I sent Jesus to redeem you. I've sent Jesus to buy you back from slavery. And now I've put the Holy Spirit and I've sealed it. I have sealed. Now, so you go, okay, Pastor, that sounds good. So what is sealed? Come back next week and I'll tell you. Give a $10 donation on your way out, I'll give you a hint. You know what you're sealed with? Oh, here we go. Can we go back? Am I doing this wrong? Yeah, I love doing this. We'll put it up. Blessed be God who has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Everything. Church, I want you to get this. I need you to do this. I need you to see yourself that you already possess every gift that God has. You're allowed to get excited. Because you know what? You know what religion has taught us? It's in the future. It's in the future. It's in the future. It's in the future. One day you will, one day. But God says, no, no, now is the day of your salvation. Man, I've been studying this the last couple of days. I even woke up, Sylvia at 7 o'clock. I woke up because, man, I can't. She goes, I'll wait. You know why? Because for years I've spent trying to earn. For years I wanted the favor of God. For years I've strived. For years I've kept records of how long I pray. For years I've kept up the books that I've read. And then realize, zip. And I go, I'm already blessed. I'm already blessed. I'm already blessed. What you want, you already are. You already are. Because I tell you what, when Jesus looks at himself in a mirror, he doesn't go, oh, I've got a gummy leg. Oh, no, look. One eyebrow is longer than the other. Oh, no, look at this. I'm wearing really ridiculous out-of-date clothing. Oh, no. Jesus looks himself in the mirror and goes, whoa, you righteous thing, you. Oh, you holy thing, you. You accepted thing, you. Come on, Mr. Favor. Come on. Why don't you let the head do the talking instead of your body do the talking? Come on, church. God doesn't do this. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace. I'm not very good to die. Today I'm not very good. I not do good things. And you're going to punish me. And after the punishment, can you love me a little bit? Not much. I'll get pride. Only a little. Jesus. Witches. You okay? The first recorded voice of the Father in Jesus' life was this. This is my beloved Son and I'm so wrapped with him. Jesus, I just heard that he's really wrapped with you, but I haven't seen any miracles. Hey, how many hits on YouTube did you have on your last sermon? Oh, none. Oh, yeah. Excuse me. How many books have you sold? How many disciples do you have? None. But God says he's pleased with you. So God says, because the Father's pleased with me, so the numbers don't count. My finances don't count because I already have the pleasure of God. Now listen to me carefully. Everything that you need on the outside starts with the truth on the inside. I struggle. Is there a, can we be real? I struggled with that because I used to run after every big ministry to lay hands on me. I just thought there was this great ministry in the States. So spent a plane ticket, hired a car, hired a hotel, lost $7,000 went down. I got the top of the top people praying for me. The guy that I was sitting next to was Benny Hinn's worship pastor. And guess what? I got home, and guess what happened? Nothing except Silvo said, 7,000 missing in the bank account. It felt like she was saying, well, come on, bud, cough it up. Because you know what? I actually thought that the blessing is in somebody else's touch. I actually thought if I can come under this ministry, I can come under this, which we need to. But listen to me carefully. You can come under me, but I can't make you wealthy. I can lead you to the one that does it, but I can't do it. And so what happens is this, as a church, we already are a great church. We are. Or otherwise you'll go, oh, when we do this. But Paul says, bless God. The blessed God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. You want to change? You want this afternoon to be the best afternoon you've ever had? Walk out of here right now saying, I'm already blessed. You know what? You'll be going into your favorite restaurant and they go, chili crab or lamb. No, thank you. I've already eaten. Your boss comes up to you. Hey, if you do this and this, I can make you wealthy. Hey, boss, excuse me. I'm here to make you wealthy because I'm already wealthy. So come on. And somebody rings you up and says, hey, I want to date you because if you're seen with me, you'll be really hot. Oh, come on, push off. When you're seen with me, you'll be good, not me the other way around. Come on. Come on. Isn't it about time that we actually took ourselves seriously? Who is ourselves? Jesus. Jesus is the head. And can you imagine, listen to this, there's got to be a problem when I go, I don't feel holy enough, or I'm not worthy, but I'm his body. You know what's amazing? You get a little splinter. How many of you ever had little splinters? Not very big, but the most annoying thing is a little splinter. And one thing you never do, you go, finger, you deserve it. You shouldn't have touched that bit of wood. I'm going to leave you in there. You know the first thing the head does? When you get a splinter, your head starts to go, can I? With me? You're trying to bite it out. When you can't bite it out, start to gouge your knife. You can't gouge your knife. You go, where's the tweezers? You can't find the tweezers. You go into casualty. Mr. Fermanic, are you all right? I've got a splinter. And the nurse goes, get in line. But you see, every time, you know when you hurt yourself, what do? You bring it to your mouth. When mums, when your kids hurt themselves, don't want you to whoop it. Kiss it. Kiss it better. What do you think the father does? What do you think the father does? So, I do not give you permission to talk negatively about yourself. You talk negatively about, I will come. God will speak to me. And I'm going to come to your house at 3 a.m. in the morning with a loudspeaker so all your neighbors will hear. And I will do this. God has a message for you. Stop it. Speak positively, and all the lights will come on. And they go, who are you? I'm their pastor. I'm LBO's pastor. No. And they go, man, I don't want to. I'll come to your church because you do night calls. Yeah. But see what Paul was doing? And I guess this, I'm going to close. Do you know where Paul wrote the book of Ephesians? In prison. He was in prison physically. Spirit, he was free. So this guy says, you can put me in prison, but I'm still blessed. Because the prison doesn't make me unblessed. Church, I really, really love you. You're my favorite bunch of people in the globe. There's no place I'd rather be than here. And what God's been telling me, Ted, feed. This year is going to be your best year. This year is going to be your best year. Your marriage is going to go up a notch. Your finances are going to go up. You know why? It's because you're going to start to realize this is who I am. I am already blessed. I am blessed because if I believe I'm blessed, everything that comes out of me is blessed. Father, right now I come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, we come to you to the perfect, perfect sacrifice of Jesus. Father, you are blessed and you send Jesus blessed to redeem us. And Jesus has redeemed us. Then you sealed us with the Holy Spirit that no man can unseal. And so, Father, right now, I just pray for every single person to have an encounter with who they are. That, Father, we realize that we are the body of Christ. That we realize that we are already blessed. Every spiritual blessing resides in me. And right now, I speak to what is inside of you. I don't speak to your circumstances. I don't speak to the people around you. I'm speaking to what's inside of you. I am speaking to all the promises of God that are inside of you. I am speaking to the righteousness of Jesus that is inside of you. I am preaching on the holiness that's inside of you. I am speaking to the faith that is inside of you. I am speaking to the worship that is inside of you. I am speaking to all the redemption promises that are inside of you. I am preaching into your future. I am speaking into your past and saying your past is gone. I am saying that today you are saved. Today you are healed. Today you are wealthy. Today is your day of salvation. I'm not going to wait another day. I'm not going to wait another minute. But I am going to start to rejoice in the God of my salvation. The God that has made me. The God that has redeemed me. I am not the tail, I am the head. I am not broke, I am rich. I am not depressed, I am joyful. I am not down, I am above. I am not under, I am flying. I'm not down, I am not on the ground, I am flying. I am. Now watch. Stand up with me, I'm going to close, but I need to finish on this. Have you ever noticed, Paul says, I am the righteousness of God? Give me 1 minute. When God wanted to introduce himself, Moses goes, what's your name? How do we do it? And he says, I am. Do you realize when Jesus taught you to say, I am, you are saying that you are like God? I am. I am. He didn't say, hey, this is what I will be to you, Moses. He says, I am. I am. I am. What's I am? I am deliverance, so I'm going to deliver you. Okay. I am wealthy, so I'm going to bless you. I am the Lamb. I am. I am. See, the moment you start to accept who you are, you do the I am. I am healed. I am prosperous. I am totally forgiven. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am loved by God. I am favored by God. Jesus not only likes me, he loves me. This is just the beginning. But your prosperity is in you. Stop looking around and go, okay, God, put your hand on your heart for me. I want you to, if you want to, I encourage you to pray this prayer after me. Father, I acknowledge that every blessing is inside of me. I am sealed for good things. From today onward, I release every promise that you have put inside of me. In Jesus' name. I will no longer speak negatively about me or anybody else. For I am fearfully, wonderfully made. You are pleased with me. You love me. I am acceptable to you. Everything about me is good, better, best. In Jesus' name, amen. God, let's give God a hand.